Amen. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13, and we continue in our series on the parables of Jesus. We've been in Matthew 13 before, and that's because Jesus gives seven different parables in Matthew chapter 13. So we've spent quite a bit of time here at various stages, and again, we're not considering them in any particular order. The Lord has led this morning to speak this morning on the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils. And that's the title of the message this morning, the sower, seed, and soils. Let's go ahead and read, beginning in verse 1, down through verse 9, then we're going to skip to verse 18 and read through verse 23. Because in the first part of Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable, but then in verses 18 and following, he explains what he meant when he gave the parable. And so let's read together. Follow along as I read this morning. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Skip down to verse 18. Jesus says here, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Here is the parable of the sower, seed, and soils. And Jesus gives the explanation for this parable. We're going to walk our way through it this morning. But by way of introduction here, we find that in the first verse or two, maybe down through verse 3 actually, Jesus is sitting in a ship and he's teaching the multitude of people. And there was such a multitude that Jesus had to get out away from them. And so he goes into a ship and the whole multitude is standing on the shore and he's teaching them the truths of God. And he says that in verse 3, that he spake this parable, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And the sower, we could say, is the Son of Man himself. We would say that the seed that this sower is sowing is the Word of God or the Gospel. A parallel passage here is over in the book of Luke. Turn over there with me. Just hold your place here. In Luke chapter 8, we find out exactly what this seed is that the sower is sowing. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And then he goes on to explain those that were by the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and then the good soils as well. But we find here very clearly that the seed that is being sown is the word of God or the gospel. The soil that this seed is to fall on is actually the human heart. And we find it back in Matthew chapter 13 in our text. Verse 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. In verse 20, again, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. It's pretty clear what the application or the interpretation of the parable is. There's a sower who's sowing the seed. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the human heart, those who hear the word of God. All right, so we have before us here the image of one who has some precious seed that he is broadcasting all around. The sowing is not in you know, modern traditional type methods. It would be a man who had a bag probably full of seed or a basket, and he would reach in and he would broadcast that seed all around. He's sowing. He's walking about broadcasting that seed. That in that seed, contained in that seed, is life. And it will bring forth fruit if it finds favorable soil to fall on. Again, the seed is the word of God. The soil is the human heart. If it finds good soil, it is going to bring forth the fruit of real spiritual life. God's word is the seed, and in that seed it is contained real spiritual life. Those that would hear and that would understand, who have the good soil of the heart, it's going to bring forth the fruit of real spiritual life. In relationship to that seed, everyone in this room has something to do with it. In relationship to that seed, you are either one who needs to receive it, meaning that you're not. You may be here and you may not be saved. You need to be born again. You need to receive that seed. Maybe you've heard the gospel before, but the soil of your heart needs to be prepared. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. In relationship to that seed, you need to receive it. You might be here and you might be saved. But in relationship to that seed, then, you need to be one who is scattering it. Everybody has something to do with that seed this morning. The sower, the Bible says, Jesus said here in this parable that the sower went forth to sow. He had a purpose, amen? His purpose was to sow the seed. And so in relationship to the seed, everybody has something to do with it. You either need to receive it or you need to be scattering it. Saint of God, you have been burdened with the precious seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a member of this New Testament church, you have been burdened with the precious seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been commanded by the Lord Himself to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to scatter the seed. Are you? Are you doing that? I love to hear testimony, like from Casey the other night. She said, pray for this lady. I met her at the park, and I had a good opportunity to witness to her of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Scattering, broadcasting that seed. Listen, do you have a story like that? Is it part of your life, saint of God? Is it part of your life? Is it built in to the fabric of your life to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Is it something that fills your mind weekly? I need to be scattering, broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we've been commanded to do. We hear good teaching and preaching on missions, like we heard this morning, about the authority of a New Testament church to preach the gospel. And we find that Jesus said both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, we've got a responsibility to the world. But I wonder sometimes if churches focus on the fact that we're going into all the world, we're supporting missionaries, we pray for them, but we're not broadcasting the seed right here. Maybe as a church, corporately we are, praise the Lord, but are you individually? Amen? Are you a sower? The sower went forth to sow with a purpose in his heart. Listen, are there people in your life? Are you diligently seeking for people with which you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, cultivate a relationship to be able to give and plant the seed of the gospel in their heart? That's your job, saint of God. The sower had a purpose, and he went forth to sow on purpose. Are you? Are you burdened with this message that you go forth weeping, bearing precious seed? Psalm 126 and verse 6 says that he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We have this precious seed that contains real spiritual life. That's a side note, introductory type for this message this morning. Ultimately, this parable is really not so much about the sower or the seed, even that is sown. I mean, it is about those things. But ultimately, this parable illustrates for us the condition of the hearts of men who hear the word of God. And we know that a parable has one central truth. And these other elements are vital and important, but this parable's central truth for us really is teaching and illustrating the condition of the hearts of men who hear the word of God. And the condition of the heart is what determines whether or not that seed will bring forth fruit or not. If the seed doesn't end up bearing fruit, is it the seed's fault? Is it faulty seed? Is it bad seed? No, it's the incorruptible word of God. It's not the seed's fault. It's not bad seed. It's the condition of the soil that the seed falls on that will determine whether or not it produces life. Because life is contained in that seed. And Jesus further reveals that this is his point in giving this parable in verse 15. Note here what Jesus says. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That means to become calloused. And their ears are dull of hearing. They don't want to hear it anymore. And their eyes they have closed on purpose, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. That's the condition of the good soil right there. And should be converted, and I should heal them. So Jesus says this people's heart is waxed gross, and he's revealing what the point of this parable is, that it's the condition of the heart that determines whether or not that seed is going to produce life. In the previous chapter, if we were to go back and read it, we would find that Jesus really rebukes the Pharisees for the hardness of their hearts. And then he gives this parable. When we read through this, there's four different types of soils, but there's really only one type of soil that actually brings forth fruit. And I want to consider the different kinds of soil this morning, compare them to the hearts of those who hear the word of God. All right? Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, would you bless now, give understanding of your word, have your way in each heart. We truly pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 4, we find the first kind of soil that Jesus mentioned. As the sower goes forth to sow, Jesus says in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. He's going to broadcast this seed. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Go over to verse 19. In verse 19, Jesus is explaining the parable, and he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The first kind of soil that we find is the wayside soil, or we would call this indifferent hearers to the Word of God, those who are indifferent to the Word of God. Now, in Palestine, the fields, they weren't, you know, typical of what I saw growing up in North Dakota. In North Dakota, what you find is farmland everywhere, and everything's in a perfect, you know, square grid, and you might have X number of acres of land in one of these squares, and that whole entire thing is a field that grows crops. That's not what it was in the days of Palestine. In Palestine, the fields were actually planted in very narrow, long strips of land, okay? And on either side of those long, narrow strips, there was a pathway, all right? And that pathway was a public pathway. It was common. And people would use that, and they would, and everybody would walk on these wayside places in order to, it was public use, or in order to stay off of the farmland or whatever. There was many of these long, narrow strips, and beside them or between them was what was called the wayside. This is what Jesus is referring to when he says that sower went forth to sow, and he's broadcasting the seed, and some of that seed fell by the wayside. In other words, it fell onto the pathway, which was a hard, beaten down pathway from the foot traffic of multitudes of passers-by. You see what happens in Alaska, you know, when four-wheelers are driving across the tundra, you know? What happens over time? Those ruts get all dug out as multitudes of four-wheelers drive across it, and that ground becomes a trail now, and there's these grooves where the tires were, but all the soft tundra is pulled away, and you get down, and the dirt gets pulled away, and you get down to, it's packed down to something that is sometimes even impenetrable. You follow what I'm saying here? This is exactly what Jesus was talking about. Some seed fell along the wayside, and if that seed fell there, and it often did, there wasn't really much chance of that seed being able to penetrate into the earth that it had fallen on, and it would be similar to that seed falling out on the Plaque Road. How easy is it going to penetrate the ground? That seed, when it fell by the wayside, really became nothing more than bird feed. Because the sparrows and the crows could easily get to it. It was unprotected. And Jesus compared that kind of soil to people who have hard hearts to the truth of God. These kinds of people have their minds that are shut. Their minds are calloused when it comes to the things of God. That's what Jesus said in verse 15. This people's heart is waxed gross. This people's heart has become calloused so that they cannot feel, they cannot sense, they're not sensitive to the truth of God. These are people in whose minds the truth of God has no more chance of gaining an entry than the seed being able to settle in the good ground of that, or the hard ground of that beaten path. These are people who don't really understand the things of the kingdom of God because they've become insensitive to Him. And so talking to them about spiritual things or having the seed of the gospel being able to penetrate their heart, it's sort of like talking to a brick wall sometimes. And Jesus said, these people have ears to hear, but they don't really hear. They have eyes to see, but they don't really see. These are people who are hard to the things of God. You know, we might think in our minds, well, yeah, there's all kinds of people like that in the world. Like, you know, people who are evolutionists, for example. I've used Richard Dawkins as an illustration before. The guy's heart is hard to the things of God. It's the message of the gospel does not penetrate, and it will not, because his heart is hard. And we might think in our hearts and our minds, well, there's all kinds of people like that, but you know what? They're not the only ones who are hard to the truth of God. I used to play the guitar some, and it's been a long time, and I've forgotten much. And I wouldn't be able to be coordinated enough now probably to do it. But I remember when I was learning to play the guitar, when I first picked it up and started to play and was working through finger positions on where chords are and all that kind of stuff, I remember that the tips of my fingers would just hurt and almost bleed from pressing them against those strings. And my fingers were very, very sensitive. But over time of practice and over time of playing, you know what started to develop on the tips of my fingers? Calluses. And as those calluses grew, my fingers weren't so sensitive anymore. In many ways, that's an illustration of what happens in the heart of somebody who is resistant to the truth of God, who hears the gospel, and maybe initially their heart is sensitive. Maybe initially they feel the pain or the sting of the Spirit of God convicting them about their sin. But the more that they say no, and the more that they resist the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the more callous their heart becomes. So pretty soon, they're not sensitive God anymore. And if the Spirit of God tries to speak, they don't feel it. They don't sense it. That is a very, very dangerous, dangerous place to be. Or maybe once you were convicted over your sin, maybe you're a regular hearer of the gospel, and you've been convicted over your sin in the past, but you don't feel it anymore. I think everybody has what we might call a no muscle. And the more that you flex that muscle saying no to God, the harder that muscle becomes. And listen, to where it's easier and easier and easier to keep on saying no until the heart is hard. And the gospel can't penetrate. What causes this heart problem? What causes the heart problem is a refusal by some to submit themselves to God in their life. And they keep on saying no until they can't sense or feel the presence or the Spirit of God anymore trying to speak to their heart. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved and that's you, you ought to be very, very afraid. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. There's coming a day when the Spirit of God is going to say, fine, you've made your final choice. I'm not speaking to your heart anymore. That kind of a heart is a doomed heart. Probably forever lost. I'm not God. I don't have His mercy. I pray this morning, if you're here and you've heard the gospel many times and you've been convicted in the past, but you don't sense the Spirit of God anymore and your heart is hard and it's a wayside, I pray for the mercy of God in your life, my friend. I'm reminded, this in Acts chapter 24, we don't have to turn over there. The Apostle Paul is standing before a man named Felix. And he's giving his own personal testimony of salvation, and he's preaching the gospel to a man named Felix. And the Bible says that Felix, when Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that he trembled, and he was under conviction over his sin. But what did he say? He said, that's enough for now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you when I'm ready. But you know, the Bible never says he ever had a convenient time. His heart was hardened because he said no. Jesus said that gospel is this precious seed of life. And it's scattered and it's sown, but sometimes it falls on the wayside on those who are hardened to the truth. And that gospel cannot penetrate. The problem then is the more that we say no to God, the easier it is. Go back to our text, and we find the second type of soil that Jesus mentions here. In verse 5, as the sower goes forth to sow, Some fell on the wayside, but verse 5 says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now skip over to verse 20. Jesus says here, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here we call this the stony ground, or an emotional hearer of the truth of God. This ground, this stony ground, was actually a thin layer of earth that was on top of an underlying shelf of what was limestone rock. And so there was a thin layer of earth there that the seed could penetrate, but underneath that, right underneath that, was this limestone rock. And there was no place for that seed that was planted to, as it starts to push its roots down, there was no place for it to go. So it sprung up rather quickly. Why did it spring up quickly? Because that thin layer of soil would warm to the sun very quickly. But then as the sun got hot, it would try to send its roots down to find nourishment and so on, but there was no root because of that thin layer, and then it's scorched. Jesus says this is like somebody who receives that seed and hears the word of God and they receive it with joy. Oh, this is what I'm looking for! But because there's no root in them and there's no real heart for the truth of God, when the demands of following Christ start to come about in their life, they're offended because of the word and they wither away. When we go down to Chitna, there's a, on the other side of the creek where there's a little encampment, you know, you go to set up your tent over there. And the ground initially, like you could take your foot and you can dig into that dirt a little bit and it's kind of soft on the top. And you think, all right, and it's got stones everywhere, of course, and so on, but you think, okay, I can set my tent up here. And one time we were doing this, and we laid it all out, and I went to go drive that tent peg in, and it was soft on the first hit or two, and then all of a sudden on the third one, boom, that tent peg just bent right in half. Why is that? Because there was hard rock underneath there, and there was nowhere for it to go. And I moved the tried to bend it, that tent peg back out, and I couldn't do it, and I got a different one and moved it over and started to pound it in, and the first two hits was good. Oh, this is nice and soft, and then the thing bends again. Because everywhere underneath that layer was rock. What Jesus is saying here is this is the heart of some who hear the word of God initially, and at first they receive it with joy. They say, oh, this is what I'm looking for. Oh, this is what I've needed all along. But when the demands of real Christianity begin to show themselves through the word of God, all of a sudden, because they don't have real root, they're withered away. It's people who want the blessedness of salvation, but they're repelled at the cost of it. Hey, I've seen it before. Oh, this church. What a great place. All these people are just so kind and so nice. And man, people just seem so joyful. And man, these marriages and these homes, these families just look like they're just heaven on earth. I really want that. They want the blessedness of the salvation. But when the demands of what it takes to be a follower of Christ and to take up that cross and actually follow him come about, they're offended. And they're repelled by the cost of salvation. They want all the benefits, but they don't want to pay the price. That's a shallow heart, shallow soil. How many times have I seen it before where someone's life is a wreck and the seeds of the gospel are planted in their heart, and God is merciful to them, and they see, oh, this is what I need. Oh, this is the answer to all of my problems. I just need God in my life. And they begin to come, and they begin to hear the word, and with joy they receive it. Maybe they even make a profession of salvation. But because there's only shallowness in the heart, and not a real heart for the things of God, as soon as the demands of living for Christ start to show, that heat starts to be applied, there's no root in them, and they wither away. That's the stony ground, the emotional hearer. That shallow soil is actually over a hard, rocky heart. Maybe these individuals, again, they're drawn to the blessings of salvation, but they're not willing to pay the price. Jesus had those in his day. People flocked to Jesus to hear him preach, didn't they? They loved to watch and see his miracles. But when he said, you know what, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. When the demands of real Christianity began to present themselves, these people left. They went away. Why? Because their heart was never right. Sometimes that's the way it is with people. They seem like they respond, but as soon as the accountability to Christ and the challenge of taking up the cross comes, they fade away. They shoot up like rockets, but they come down like boulders. Go back to our text there in verse 7. Look at the third type of ground that Jesus mentions here in verse 7. Jesus says, and some fell among thorns and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Skip down to verse 22. The Bible says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here is the thorny ground, or what we would call the worldly hearers of the truth. If you ever planted a garden, and really if you just want to try to have a lawn or grass in Alaska, what you find rather quickly is that weeds grow with a speed that very few good seeds will ever be able to keep up with. And the result is that the weeds become so strong that they take out or push out the life of the real seed, and it ends up dying while the weeds just flourish and flourish and flourish. All of that represents those who are worldly in their heart, who hear the truth of God. Maybe they have heard the truth of God and they start to understand it, even that it's something that is necessary, something that I need in my own life. And they understand the things of God, but they've got so many cares and so many interests in this world and in this life that the most important things, like the need of salvation and the truth of God, gets choked out. They're forced at this point to choose to allow God his rightful place in their life, or to continue to follow their own ambitions and the life that they're trying to make for themselves. How many times does that happen? The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and all the irons that I got in the fire choke out the thing that's the most important, and that's their need of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 18 with me. Hold your place here again. Luke chapter 18. And we see in verse 18, Luke 18 and verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Well, that's a lie. He just broke one of God's commandments right there. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? Here we find the story of a man who the rich young ruler, the Bible would call him, or we might call him rather, who came to Jesus. He said, What must I do to be saved? And Jesus knew and understood what this man's heart was. He knew what was most important to this young man. And so Jesus challenges him on what on his sin. And he says, listen, take all that you have, sell it, give to the poor, come follow me. And the Bible says he was very sorrowful because he had great riches. He wasn't willing to pay the price, and he wasn't willing to pay the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And his whole life was wrapped up in his riches and what he had. And the cares of the life for him choked out the one thing that he needed the most. You might be here this morning and you've heard the gospel that's planted, but your heart is stony ground, or thorny ground rather. And there are ambitions in life, and there are interests in life that keep crowding out the thing that's the most important. But you know, there's application for the Christian as well. Many of us make the same mistake as saints of God. How so? In that we tend to give first-rate loyalties to second-rate causes. Our time, our attention, our life, it's wrapped up in hunting, fishing, jobs, whatever. And it becomes an idol, it becomes a god, and it crowds out the things that are the most important, like serving Christ and a commitment to Christ and a commitment to his church, truly. Not just with lip service, not just with church attendance, but a heart that is truly committed to serving God. We find the last one in verse 8. Verse 8 says, But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 23 says, But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Here's the good ground, or the receptive hearers. Those that allow the word of God that they hear a real place in their heart, they receive it. Not only do they receive it, they obey it. This is a heart that's been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God that is good, rich, black soil where the seeds can drive deep and find root. When I was growing up in North Dakota with all those farm fields and so on, man, I lived in the Red River Valley, and it was just deep, deep black, black dirt. Good, rich nutrients in that soil where crops could grow. I mean, the whole area was just farmland because the soil was so good. But every now and then, as you're driving down a country road and you're looking out across a field, there's all these crops that are just growing up so rich and so on. Every now and then, there was a dead spot, a bare spot. How could that be? Why is that? Well, because oftentimes, as the years would go by, these huge rocks would come to the surface of the ground. And every year, farmers would have to pull these giant boulders out of their fields, and they would load their trucks, you know, with these giant boulders. That thing wasn't there last year. And these rocks would come to the surface, and they would go and they would plant the seeds, and the seeds would go into the soil and so on. And all around it would grow up because of the good crop, but that one spot where that boulder was just under the surface, it was a dead spot. It didn't grow. That's the difference between the good soil and the shallow soil. The difference between the good soil and the wayside soil. The difference between the good soil and the thorny ground. The good soil brings forth the fruit of real life and real change. Every year around this time, you could probably see ads for companies who say that they'll do free soil testing. And they'll come out and test the quality of your soil. And they do that in the hopes that, you know, you'll pay them for them to come and add all the nutrients into the soil that you need so that you can grow a lawn or that you can have a garden or whatever. Today, I think we should ask God to do a soil test in our own heart. Amen? The parable of the sower, it's pretty easy to understand with Jesus' explanation. What kind of soil are you? Are you like the wayside? You've heard the gospel, but you've not obeyed it. You're in the process of hardening your heart. Listen, the longer you wait, the more that you say no, the more susceptible you are to Satan snatching away that seed. Listen, saint of God, this is why it is so very important. When you've had an opportunity to sow the seed in someone's heart, you had an opportunity to witness somebody, it is so very important that you follow up with them. Because that seed could just sit on the hard surface of the soil. And the devil will come and snatch away that seed so it can't have a chance even to penetrate the heart. Are you like the stony ground? Maybe you've heard the gospel and you've even allowed it to penetrate a little, but the heart is still not right. And when the demands of following Christ begin to spring up, it's going to wither away. People who are drawn to the blessings of salvation, but they don't want to pay the cost. Are you like the thorny ground? The gospel has been preached to you, but you're so preoccupied with cares, with riches, with pleasures, with whatever this world has to offer that you don't even take seriously the things of God. The seed of the Word of God is not going to bear fruit until real spiritual life, until the heart is made right, until there's good soil. But maybe you're like the good ground. You've heard the Word. It's time to respond to it and let it bring forth fruit. If it's good ground, listen, the Word of God is going to be producing its intended effect in a person's life. You will be growing and changing if the soil is right. What kind of soil are you? Let God have His way in your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for your will to be done. And Lord, I pray for any who are not saved. There's only one kind of soil that Jesus mentions that actually brings forth fruit, and it's the good ground. Father, I pray that each one would examine their heart and do that soil test to find out the condition of their heart. It's not the seed's fault if it doesn't bring forth fruit. It's the condition of the heart of a man. There are hardened hearts. Father, have mercy. Dig up that fallow ground. Dig up that soil. Prepare it for the seed. Father, if there's stony ground or thorny ground, the cares of the world, pray that there would be those who would just set it aside and see the most important thing. That's their eternal destiny in their soul, not this temporal life. Father, maybe there are saints of God who are making that same mistake. Maybe there are saints of God who are not sowing and broadcasting as they've been commanded to. Father, would you burden our heart and speak to each one that your will might be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, please.